This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Guys, you know, this morning, I'm again here at front. I'm not the pastor of the church, as you know. Jaco is in Windhoek, helping there. And this morning I was Ruan, and now I'm Werner. You know, Ruan wasn't here. He phoned me up and said, "Can you please stand in?" So I was trying to preach in Afrikaans, but didn't work. So I preached in English. And you know, this morning I've got a very—you can see—it's very innovative. Eh? You see there at the bottom it says Harvest, and the top also. So. My topic is harvest because we are talking about the harvest. And this morning I told the Afrikaans service, I told them a joke, but I just got these blind stares, you know, looking at me, and they said, "No, don't get that one." Because we were on Wednesday, we were at Andres Vermeulen, you know, in the Pro Ed. And, you know, it's always... We know Andries can tell jokes, and you know. And I said, when I arrived in Swakopmund, it's now 31 years ago, but 30 years ago, I was still just in my 20s. We joined this little congregation, you know, and it was in a house, and there were 5-6 people, and it was the beginning of this church here. And there was a guy there, yeah, I invited the people for a braai at my house, and there was a guy there called Steve Quirk, and he asked me to do a lot of things. He immediately kind of targeted you and said, "Okay, you can do this," and then he asked me to build a pancake machine. It was a disaster. Yeah, we spent a lot of time on this pancake machine, but it just didn't work. And then, but at this braai, he said, "Oh, I want to tell you a joke," you know. And I thought, "Oh, Christians telling jokes," you know. I was still a relatively young Christian, you know. And here this guy starts with this joke, and that's what the joke that Afrikaans people didn't understand. It's
the English ones did. They told them.
It's okay. Okay, you see, it takes a bit of time for you to understand some of these jokes, you know. But he was telling, and I'm just going to tell you this, it's nothing to do with this. But he said, there was this guy, he wanted to build a house, a castle for his wife, with 1,000,000 bricks. And every brick had to be used, every brick, you know. He wanted this, he had, this plan was like that 1,000,000 bricks be there, and it'd be finished, and then the roof goes on, it's finished. Then he wanted to have the inspection, you know, before the roof goes on, to see whether all these 1,000,000 bricks were used. And he walked through the house there, and he came into this one room, and there was a brick lying on the floor. And the thing was finished. Now, this brick had no place to go. And he was furious. You know, he was like, all this planning, everything. And he took this brick, and he threw it up in the air. And it just disappeared. You know, and we were standing there, and he said, "It's funny, eh?" And we're like, "Okay, is this the end of the joke, you know? This is like the end of the joke, you know?" Said, "Oh, Christian jokes, eh?" Anyway, on Wednesday, there were some real jokes. Afrikaans, you know, Afrikaans people know how to tell jokes, you know. But anyway... You see, I get the same response. No. At least you're laughing at the nun joke, you know. Anyway, you know, this morning, like I say, I have this topic, harvest, and we've been talking about the harvest, the sound of the harvest, and I thought I want to look at the topic that, or if you have read the Bible a few times, when you talk about the New Testament and you talk about the harvest, I'm sure you're immediately thinking of the passage where Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Then ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into his harvest. I want to just ask three questions around this particular verse, but I just want to read just to give a bit of context, a few verses before that. In Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38, I just want to read it. It says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" Can we just pray? Lord, we know this is your word. Lord, these words you actually spoke. The Lord, creator of the universe, you spoke them, Lord, and we can ask questions around them, Lord. We can ask questions about them, but unless you, Holy Spirit, you reveal to us what does this mean, Lord? What does this, how does this apply in our lives? Holy Spirit, we ask you this morning that your word will accomplish that which you have planned for it to accomplish. Lord, and we pray this morning that your presence in this place, Lord, I can speak for hours here, but Lord, unless you speak into our hearts, it is futile, Lord. And therefore, I ask you, Holy Spirit, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. You know, this passage is a, I would call it a hinge, or, you know, when you work out in the field, a shackle, you know. They always talk about shackles, you know, when you lift things or when you pull things, you use a shackle. And this verse here of where Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few," is like a shackle. You know, it's all before that time. It was Jesus in the field. He was preaching the good news. He was healing the sick. He was, you know, giving people sight. Blind people could see. People were raised from the dead. There was, you know, I looked through some of the things that Jesus did. There was even a mother-in-law healed. You know, all of these things happened, but Jesus did them. And the people were saying, "Look, nothing like that has happened in Israel before." It wasn't a surprise that they said that. But here, something happens after this, what Jesus is talking about. Because in the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus says to his 12 disciples, "Come." And he commissions them to go out and to, it's almost like take over. To now, he says, "I give you, you know, the power to drive out demons. I give you the power to heal the sick." And it's from that time on, his disciples also had to go out. It wasn't that Jesus was doing everything and disciples just brought the food and helped with this and helped with that, but this is a moment where Jesus makes the switch from him doing everything, where he actually sends out his disciples. But this is the shackle, or the link. And this is where I think this morning also we have to, you know, when you read this verse, it is that we also have to make a decision. You know, at this, you can't go through this and say, "Well, the harvest, the Lord says, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." If we don't have a response to that, You know, if we don't believe what he's saying there, then there will be no response. But if we believe what the Lord is saying there is true, then he also commissions us to go out. And I just want to, this morning, ask three questions. And that's just why? You know, questions normally start with why or something like that, you know. But I want to ask three questions and just talk around them. What that speaks to me, because I'm standing here this morning, and this word, you know, I'm not standing here saying that I am the worker that is out there, out in the harvest field. But let me start with the first questions. With the first question. My question is, why does Jesus say the harvest is plentiful? You know, he was looking at the crowd and had compassion on them. And then he turns to his disciples and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, the first thing that I thought, well, he sees the crowd and therefore he says, there's the harvest. But, you know, I thought, he also knows that in a very short time, that they will turn against him, you know. Well, he knew that the Pharisees were trying to catch him out. They were trying to take him into jail. They were trying to kill him. And he knew that very soon, even the ones that were, well, first of all, the crowd, many of them would actually not come. And the crowd was like a lot of lame and sick people, because they knew there was healing. But Jesus was healing people. But he knew that many of them would shout, crucify him, crucify him. You know, and even his disciples, the guys that were sitting there, the guys that he was sending out, one of them would betray him. One of them would actually betray him to be killed. And another one that said he would never leave him or forsake him, denied that he knew him. And the others went into hiding. So I was thinking, what evidence is there that the harvest, why does Jesus say the harvest is plentiful? You know, even when the people, the crowds were there, sometimes the disciples said to Jesus, you know, there's just too many here. Send them away. You know, send them away so that we can have some. But now Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. And I don't think he was only referring to the crowd in front of him. You know, if we today look and say the same or listen to what the Lord is saying, the harvest is plentiful. He said to us, go out, you know, to Jerusalem, to Samaria, into the uttermost parts of the world and preach the gospel, because the harvest is plentiful. I don't know how it is for you, but, you know, when we just have to go out, simple as we did yesterday, you know, hand out pamphlets and inviting people to Stephen Lungu on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock in the Mundesa Community Hall. Stephen Lungu will be there. And there's a desire that hall will be filled with people. You know, and we're asking the Lord, help us to go out there. And it is strange when you go out there, you have to hand out. Is it easy? It's not easy. You know, even just handing out pamphlets. But is it easy to witness? You know, I'm asking these questions because I don't always find it easy. I don't find it easy to always be the, you know, that the harvest is plentiful. It's easy. The harvest, you can just reap. You can just reap. You know, if we look on television and we see what's happening in the world, we sometimes, I think, feel like the disciples, you know, like feel this demonstrating and breaking down and, you know, chaos and killing and, you know, feel like I send these people away. They're not ready. They're not. I must say, it sometimes feels to me like that. It's not easy, even today. So the Lord is saying, the harvest is plentiful. Even though He knew that there would most of those people and others would join to say, crucify Him. And I think He's saying to the disciples, there's something that you have to do. We believe what He's saying is true. Did the disciples believe when He says the harvest is plentiful? If we stand here today and we say, look out there, the harvest is plentiful, do we actually believe it? If we do, then I think there needs to be a response from us. You know, if the farmer says the harvest is ready to his workers, then he has to go and they have to harvest. So if the Lord says to us the harvest is plentiful, then there needs to be a response from us. And I'm putting these questions to us all. You know, I want to just quickly look at one other scripture where Jesus almost uses the same words. And He was, we all know when Jesus went, He was at a well. And I think the well was dug by Jacob. And there at near Samaria, and the Samaritan woman comes out to draw some water, and He's sitting there. The disciples are in town. They are want to get some food. And then He talks to this Samaritan woman. And she is surprised that this Jew is talking to her. And then she leaves there. I don't know where she forgot her jar there. And she was actually there to draw water. But then it was just as Jesus speaks the last words to her, the disciples come back. And they are surprised. You know, they're surprised He's talking to a woman. And it's a Samaritan woman. The Jews and the Samaritans kind of didn't like each other. It's like, you know, almost like in Bosnia with the Serbs and the Muslims, or in Northern Ireland, the Catholics and the Protestants. And, you know, it's like the Jews and the Samaritans like didn't like each other. And here He's speaking to her, and she walks away. And then the disciples, they not asking, why did you talk to the lady, or what did you say to her, or something. It's funny that they don't actually ask that. They just ask Him, hey, you must eat something. And He says, no, I don't want to eat anything. You know, I've got food that you don't know about. And He talks like that. And then He suddenly says in I took it from John here, John 4, verse 35, He says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. He says to the disciples, open your eyes, the fields are ripe for harvest. And I just want to put the picture in your mind. This Samaritan woman went back, and a lot of people now come out to meet this guy that told her what she had done in the past and so on. And Jesus says, lift your eyes. The harvest is ripe. And I just think the disciples probably said, no, these are Samaritans. This is not the harvest. You know, this is not the harvest, you know. What are you talking about? But in our lives, I think very often it is exactly the same situation. The Lord is telling us, here, open your eyes. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is plentiful. So often we, you know, at our place of work, where we have maybe a colleague that's difficult, wherever you are, in your family, where members don't want to listen to your story about, you know, the Bible and so on, you know, that's where the harvest is plentiful. Where we see problems, that's where the harvest. You know, when Jesus looked at the crowd and He says, you know, oh, they're without a shepherd. It's like, it's problems. But the harvest is plentiful. And so too, when he knew that there would many, when he, you know, on the cross, he probably saw obviously he saw the crowd there. The harvest is plentiful. You know, sometimes we have to see that the harvest is there where we see problems, where we don't want to go, where we, no, this is, we're not going to go there. We're not going to, that is not the harvest. No, that is where the harvest is. It is not this nice little place, you know. It's in these unlikely places where we see problems. It's actually all around us at times. You know, and I want to challenge you today and say, do you believe that the harvest is plentiful? You know, do you believe that the harvest is plentiful? And I have to ask that question to me. The Lord asked me, do you believe the harvest is plentiful? And I, what's my response going to be? Yes, Lord, I believe the harvest is plentiful. So what's my response going to be to that? And it, you know, it's just my first question is, I think that Jesus is asking that, do you, disciples, believe that the harvest is plentiful? He's asking us, do you believe the harvest is ready, is ripe? And then we must, let us ponder over that. You know, so let me ask the second question. Why does Jesus say the laborers are few? The workers are few the fact of the matter is actually that very few Christians lead people to Christ. It is statistically very few lead people to Christ. Now, I'm saying this here, you know, because there are many Christians out there. When this morning we were praying and we were, you know, and Mark was sharing a bit of going out and handing out the pamphlets. You know, everybody, I know Christ. You know, but actually, there are very few that lead others to Christ. Now, why am I'm saying this? Because I think the Lord is saying it here. The workers are few. You know, there are few that are prepared to go out there. There are many that sit in churches talking about going out there or talking about evangelism. There are many that preach about going out there, like I'm doing this here this morning. There are many sitting on the sideline. But how many are actually workers out in the field? The Lord says there are few. Now, why does he say that? You know, and I was just thinking a little bit about that. You know, the harvest tool, and I've put these three pictures up there. You know, when you make this harvest tool, I looked at a YouTube video, how they make this tool, you know, yesterday. And this guy took a piece of metal like that, and he put it in that coal, and he took it out, and he hammered it, and he put it in the coal, and he hammered it some more, and he bent it, and hammered it, and hammered, and again in, and hammered, and then he put it on this belt grinder and a file, and then at the end, this tool was ready for harvest, you know, and he demonstrated it there on this video, demonstrate how this tool now can be used for harvest. When it was still this piece of metal, it didn't cut, you know, and the workers that go out into the harvest, I think the Lord knew that there are few that are prepared to go into the fire, to be hammered, to be filed, you know, and it is not easy out there in the harvest. And therefore, I think, you know, I mean, it's the best way I can describe it is, the Lord probably knew that there are few that are prepared to become that tool that is made ready for harvest, that can actually harvest. You know, and it's, I wanted to, and you probably saw already a picture there, I wanted to take another example of why should it be different for the workers in the harvest to actually practice. We need to get ready. You know, we can put up that next picture up there. There's this guy jumping with his bicycle, and that's my son, one of my sons. He does this crazy thing of downhill cycling. You know, that's the kind of what he enjoys, going down this hill, you know, and as a parent, when you get phoned, your son is in hospital, he's got a crack on his skull, you know, and that was the one afternoon we got phoned like that. It's not that nice, and you think, why do you have to do this? You know, why can't you just cycle on a road, you know, and why do you have to go downhill? And actually the guy, I know the guy very well that found him there, you know, that was a race, and he fell and he was lying there, and this guy, Conrad is his name, he came and he looked, there's somebody lying here on the road, and he went to him, he saw, he's still okay, he's still responding, and I don't know why he asked that question. He said, must I take you to hospital or must I take you to Andy's? You know, Andy's is a place in Windhoek, you know, restaurant, pub, you know. And my son said, Andy's, you know. When we asked him later, why did you say Andy's, you know? He said, no, he wasn't actually, he couldn't remember. He had a crack here on the skull and that. But you know, he didn't just climb one day on his bicycle, jump over this thing. It takes a lot of practice. You know, and I've been quite a few times with him in some of the races that he does. If we can go to the next slide there. And on one race, my wife and myself had the privilege to accompany him on a race. It was, if you just go back to that thing there. And it was the Trans-Pyrenees. He also wanted to do that, you know, and he was cycling, and there was this sign there, and I found it very, very appropriate. It says, sometimes we see, you know, what people, the 5% of success that people accomplish, but we forget the 95% of hard work that goes into that, to accomplish that. You know, and my son doing this type of thing, if you go to the next slide, you know, it is you get dirty. You know, here, this was the Cape Epic that he took part in, and it's dirty. It's, you know, the next slide, you can see he's not very happy. You see, that's him there, not very happy, you know, and it's all part of this wanting to do the sport and achieve something in the sport. If you go to the next one, you know, yeah, going through deep waters, difficult things that you have to do if you want to do this. And then again, it's dirty. You know, this is his bicycle. I took this picture while he was standing there. And then, you know, at the end, the next slide is just, I do it all for that, you know, to achieve the success of completing the race. This was in Spain, you know, completing the race. And it is no different that when we go out there into the harvest field, we have to practice, we have to go back into the fire, get dirty, go out again, go, you know. Why should it be just so easy? I think the Lord knew that not many want to go out there into the practice field, like Jaco was saying last week, you know, Do I rather want to go with somebody that can talk about the battle and has never been in it? Or do I want to go with someone that's been there, doesn't know all the strategy, but he's had a lot of experience in the battle? I think I'll go with that guy to get ready for the harvest. You know, it's the problem with preaching here. I can stand here and tell you all the conceptual things about the harvest, but if I don't go out there and practice what I preach, and that's why this is a hinge where it's a challenge. Harvesting is a busy time. It's not something, the harvest is ready, now we can sit back and relax. No, that's when you actually do the hardest work. So it's hard work. But before I go to the last question, I want to go to the lighter side of things. I could see you didn't understand Steve's joke. You know, Steve Quirk at the braai there. But, you know, right at the end of the evening, you know, we had finished with a braai and that, he said, I've got another joke, you know. Now we have to, again, just be clever to know when does the joke end, you know, when is the end of the joke, so we can laugh, you know. And he told this joke, you know, he said, you know, there was this guy that he flew with his plane, and he had a monkey. He took a monkey onto the plane. And this is the time, I don't know when it was allowed to take a monkey onto the plane, but so he was sitting there in the front seat, and this monkey was jumping around, and people were getting annoyed, and then this guy still took a big fat cigar and smoked a cigar, you know, and people started complaining to the steward and said, no, this is not on, you know. So the steward came to the guy and said, look, this is not on, you know. Took the monkey, took the cigar out of his mouth, opened the door and threw the monkey out, you know. And, close the door and they fly on, and this guy sits there and is very sad about his monkey. And as they land, they come out of the plane, you know, the guy walks out very sad. He looks back, sees a monkey sitting on the tail of the plane there, you know. Sitting there, like half frozen, you know, and he's got something in his mouth, you know, and he thinks, what has he got in his mouth, you know? And Steve asked him, do you know what he had in his mouth? I said, a brick. So it takes sometimes, these Christian jokes, takes a bit of time, you know, to understand them, you know. Anyway, that was... I know in Frontier, some of you know still Steve Quirk. He was this type of guy, you know. But he was actually, tell you, he was working at Dressing Uranium, and a lot of guys out there at Dressing Uranium, you know, he came to one guy that was working for me that I've been praying now for the last 30 years, been praying with him every Wednesday morning. He's just now moved to Windhoek. For the last 30 years, every Wednesday morning at 5:30, we pray. And he went to this guy. Steve was a, what they call a condition monitoring technician. This guy was a fitter, and he had to ask him something. And then he asked, the guy's name was Alf. He said, Alf, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, like, but this is Steve was this tool, and Alf, it just doesn't leave, left him, you know. And Alf was the guy that tried to build a pancake machine with myself, and it didn't work. But Steve was a tool that harvested, you know. He went to the next guy and said, Jimmy was the guy, you know, Jimmy, you know, do you know the Lord who made heaven and earth? You know, and it was just, I don't know, he just never stopped. He was never afraid. He was a tool in, you know, one of those workers, one of those few workers that God sent out. But I want to ask the last question. Why does Jesus say, you know, I thought if the Lord says, You know, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. He would say now to his disciples, now go. Or he would say to everyone, let's go into the harvest. No, he says, ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the field. It's not like that Jesus doesn't want action, because in the next chapter he does in fact send out his disciples. But I think the Lord knows that before we can be effective tools in the harvest field, we need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time with Him. You know, to the same prayerful reliance that He had on the Father. Jesus never did anything before He did not spend time with the Father. He spent the whole night praying to the Father before He chose His 12 disciples. He doesn't go and say, ah, come, you know. He spent a lot of time. And it is, you know, if we pray that we can have the compassion that Jesus has, that we can have this, you know, just see what He sees, we need to spend time with Him. We must wait upon the Lord. You know, I just want to share to you quickly something from this little booklet. You know, this morning I was in one of our rooms. It's actually my eldest son, the cyclist son's room. He's 31, so he doesn't stay with us anymore, but it was his room. You know, and I was walking around there and praying and you know, and I saw there was all these books standing there, and there was a book here of Andrew Murray. And I looked at it, and I saw, oh, it says library service, taken out the 16th of February, 1994. It's my wife's birthday, actually, 16th of February, not 1994. But so I thought, why did we never give this back to the library, you know? But then I found this little card in there, and it said Graham Holmes. And I thought, oh, Graham Holmes, I know this guy. Why is this book in with us, you know? Anyway, I don't know which library it is. It doesn't say which library it is in anything. Anyway, I found it there. And I just looked at this. I read this little passage here, and I want to read it to you. And it does speak to me a little bit about action and waiting upon the Lord. Because the Lord also says those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Now he says, and I'll just read a very short piece here. On the other hand, I'm not going to tell you the other hand, there are actually many who work for God but know little of what it is to wait on Him. They've been led to take up Christian work under the impulse of under the natural impulse or religious feelings at the bidding of a pastor or a society, but with very little sense of what a holy thing it is to work for God. Let us pray that as we proceed in these meditations on working for God, that the Holy Spirit may show us how sacred and how urgent our calling is to work, how absolute our dependence is upon God's strength to work in us, how sure it is that those who wait on Him shall renew their strength, and how we shall find waiting on God and working for God something that is inseparable. You know, waiting on God, praying, like the Lord says, ask the Lord of the harvest before we go out into. You know, He says, ask. It's not a suggestion. He says, it's a prayer command from the Lord. And lastly, you know, in this where He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, He says, it is His harvest field. You know, maybe before I come to that, I'm just thinking, you know, very often we pray, Lord, bring in the harvest. Bring in the harvest into the church. The Lord says, pray ask the Lord of the harvest, you know, to go out into the harvest field. The harvest is out there, you know. So it's almost like we, you know, we pray, bring in the harvest, while he says, pray that the workers can go out into the harvest, into, because that's where the harvest is. It's out there. When the crop is ready, you know, when you have workers, your harvest is ready as a farmer. I've never farmed, so I don't know. But when the harvest is ready and the workers are sitting in the shed talking about the harvest, discussing how they will harvest, but not actually going out there to harvest, the harvest will rot. That's where the work is. It's out in the harvest. And we must not forget, and I think that what this little book also talks about, it is his harvest field. He lets the crop grow. We may plant the seed. He lets it grow. And he says to us, the harvest is ready. It is his harvest. You know, it's so often, like this little book also says, we're so overwhelmed by you know, the needs of the people, or the, we have to do something, you know, that we forget that we are workers, we are his workers. We're doing it for the King of Kings, you know what, for the Lord of Lords. You know, it's, humanism is kind of almost like, oh, the rights of the people, and, you know, the emotional this, and the right to say this, and the right of this, and, you know, and as much as the needs of the people have to be also looked at, but we as workers that go into the field there, we are the tool in his field. It is his harvest. We must always remember, why do we go out there? Why do we preach the gospel? Why do we bring Christ to people? Is to bring in his harvest on his harvest field. You know, and what a privilege it is to be part of God's team. You know, I've had lots of teams at work and lots of interviews and different interview styles and testing and all of these things, you know. But I just realized how important it is to have the right people on your team. You know, if you don't have the right people on your team, they sit there about the talk about the work, but don't do the work. I'd rather have the people that go out there, make mistakes, and do the work. You know, and it's just, I think the same here. The Lord is saying, spend time with me so that you can be the right harvest tool out there, and that we can have confidence. And we sang about it, you know, who can be against us? If God is for us, and when we go out there, if we spend time with him, you know, if he's for us, who can be against us? So I'm talking this morning here, and these three questions that I'm posing to myself and to you. Do you believe the harvest is plentiful? Do you believe that the harvest is plentiful out there? You know, if so, are you a worker that is ready, a worker that's prepared to get dirty, to get hammered, to get put back into the fire? But are you also prepared to spend time with the Lord? Because if you spend time with him, you can experience the compassion that he had. You know, that's why he says it, the compassion that he is. He saw they were out without a shepherd, harassed. They were lost. They didn't know. Even when they said, crucify him, he said, Lord, forgive them. But the harvest is ready. And this morning, I want to just ask you to, there where you sit, to spend a short moment in prayer and contemplate whether you ask these questions to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I believe that the harvest is ready. Or, you know, if you don't believe the harvest is ready, he's saying that the harvest is ready. But speak to the Lord, and, you know, because as I said, it's decision time. You know, I actually had the another slide. I don't know if you can just quickly go back to that. It was another notice that I saw at this cycle event. You know, oh, one can't see that nicely. You know, my wife sometimes says, you know, one feels so guilty when you leave after service. You know, oh, you know, we don't achieving anything. We're not supposed to feel like that. You know, this thing said there. It was great. Every day there was another notice there, and this notice said, "Stop looking back. You're not going that way." You know, so it was saying to the cyclist, "Stop looking back. Look forward." And I have the same to us. Let's not look back. You know, we can not change what's behind. You know, but let's look forward. Now, these three questions that are posed to us, let us look forward. You know, and the challenge is there, do we believe that the harvest is ready and that we are the workers that can go out there spending time with him, listening to him, and bringing in the harvest? But if there is, you know, also importantly, I want to say, if there's anybody that does not know the Lord of the harvest here this morning, when we end, I will stay here in the front. And if you say, look, I actually don't know what you're talking about, you know, then please come. I want to pray with you. You know, I want to just end off by spend time on your own now, and I will end off by just praying to the Lord. Ask the Lord. Tell him what you believe and whether you want to be a worker in his harvest field. Let us pray. Father, I stand before these people here, Lord, as witnesses. And I know, Lord, it is a big thing this morning for me to say, Lord, I believe the harvest is ready. Lord, and I want to be part, I want to be a worker in your field, Lord. I want to be a worker in your field. Lord, I know it's not easy. It's not easy out there. It's not easy to stand and when others want to just leave and not talk about it, Lord. But Father, this morning I want to just come before you and also spend more time in your presence to get the compassion that you have, to see what you see, to see the harvest that you see. Lord, that my eyes may be opened to those areas where I see problems, but where the harvest is, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for once again for an opportunity, for a time like this, Lord, where we can go out into the harvest. Lord, where we can go and be part of your team, part of your workers, to be your workers, Lord, and to the prize that we can hold up high, Lord, because we, Lord, it's for your glory. Lord, you are worthy to receive glory. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.